All right. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 59. These things he, that's Jesus, said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, "Does this cause you to stumble? What then if you should behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, "For this reason I have said to you, that no one can come to me unless it's been granted him from the Father." As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. Jesus said therefore to the 12, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom should we go? You have words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus answered them, "Did I myself not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" Now he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. You know, sometimes, guys, we're under this impression. I know there's times that I've certainly felt this way, and I know from talking to you that many of you have felt this way. And it's maybe this is a little extreme, putting it in these terms, but basically, hey, if I do everything perfectly in presenting the gospel to this person, they're going to respond appropriately. They're going to follow the Lord. You know, if we as a congregation, if we as a church, you know, guys, I will say this, the Assembly of the Saints is the Assembly of the Saints. And it's primarily is to equip the saints and build up the saints for the work of service. And it's not like we just invite anybody off the street to the assembly and this is where we're going to evangelize them. But, you know what, I have absolutely no problem with inviting somebody to the assembly. A non-believer, the scripture says, if a non-believer enters, hey, they got an opportunity of a response. Okay? And the sooner you get a chance to work on people, the sooner they get into the assembly and start getting the habit of hitting the assembly, the better the opportunity is for them to make it. Okay? But and one thing I'm going to tell you, you know, sometimes, man, that was a hard message. You know, if Luke was just, you know, man, if why did he have to do that day or that night or that, you know, when this certain person showed up, we were just, guys, I trust God. I don't know about you guys, but I trust God. He's the head of the church. And we can do everything and just lay it out just so, do everything within our power to do everything just right. And bottom line is, who do not believe. Remember, what we talked about last week, this is the group of Jesus' disciples. These are people who have already come a certain distance in terms of wanting to follow Jesus. And they can't handle his hard sayings. Interesting thing, I might come back to this a little bit later for another point. I've been having a really fun Bible study for me. I'm enjoying it a lot with a young guy. And he's going to a couple different churches right now. He's raised American Lutheran. And he just recently found out that these guys don't even really believe in the literal inspiration of the Bible. But you know, when it was interesting, my study with him this week, he had all of his excuses ready. And he was kind of fired up and didn't want to talk about the things we were there to talk about. And I just was polite, but kept holding the line. And the end, it's weird. It was really weird. At the end, he's like, "Man, I wish my pastor would... He won't offend anybody. He never makes anybody... Like, we sit there and we go to this Bible study, and he says, you know, the Bible says to rejoice in sufferings, but we all know we're not really going to do that. Here the guy is at the head of the tables, the way he said it, and he's supposed to be telling us, like, you can do this. And he's like, we know none of us can do it. We just got to kind of suffer through it, right? So it was kind of cool to see. I understand some of the things this guy's going through, and I know the internal fight and the family pressure and all of that. But it was fun for me to see him at least come back around. Hey, truth seekers, guys are interested in truth. I don't know what this guy's going to do with it. But truth seekers are interested. They want somebody to tell them the truth. And people who aren't truth seekers, they're going to get mad. And they're going to leave. They did with Jesus. If we're proclaiming the words of Christ, now please don't misunderstand me. Okay, we take this in the context of all of Scripture. I'm not saying go out there and take your Bible and, you know, do as much thumping people over the head with it as you possibly can. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, though, hold the line. There are hard sayings in here, aren't there? And when somebody's up front preaching, man, I wish, oh, that was bad time. No, that wasn't bad timing. If they told the truth, that was perfect timing. That's God's timing. Jesus wasn't backing down from this. And so sometimes we got to shift this a little bit in our mind to realize, you know, yeah, hey, we want to do our best. Please, don't misunderstand me. If I'm doing this for the Lord, and everything we do should be done for the Lord, we want to give it our best, right? So I want to prepare. If I was with somebody, I want to be there. I want to do my best to preach the gospel to them. If I'm going to preach a message, and all of you guys that get an opportunity to Bible study, men and women, prepare the time. Be legit. When you have some job, don't take it half-heartedly. When you come up, be prepared. Right? And I think we do a really good job here, by the way, of that. But you prepare, you do your best, and I trust the Lord. People aren't going to make it. That's not your fault. Not Jesus. I don't know about you, but sometimes I wish these thoughts come through my mind. I would sometimes want to make choices for other people. Can't do it, and when I think about it for a second, I'm really glad I can't. God set this up the way He set it up for a reason. And He doesn't make choices for other people. Why would I want that? We have a responsibility to tell the truth. You know, is it a hard saying in our religious culture that a person, well, let's just quote Scripture, immersion now saves you? Is that a hard saying in our culture? It is. Can you change that? My Bible, as an example, 2.5 pages of notes explaining why it doesn't mean what it says. Guys, Jesus didn't do that. He didn't back away. So that's the beginning. That's to get somebody to be a Brahmin in faith. That's a challenge. And we know that's the start of will. Okay? Three of those types of soil are people who actually respond to the gospel. And only one out of those three is good. That's the reality. That's what God says. Okay? Now, well, I'll not get ahead of myself here. But God's the judge. He knows what He's doing. We have a responsibility to preach the truth, to really live the truth, and to let the Lord sift it out. He will. He'll do it right. Flip forward with me to John chapter 18 here. This is a huge, tremendous comfort to me, guys. I still oftentimes get nervous for my first Bible study with somebody. You know, the first time I'm going to sit down with them. I get little butterflies in the stomach. You know, hey, this is, I'm going to war. Yeah, you step out on a court, you step on the field, you're going to war. I get little butterflies. And this is something I remind myself of. The words of Jesus in John 19, verse 37, his discussion with Pilate. Pilate therefore said to him, "So you are a king." 1837. Thank you, Kevin. I was trying to remember if it was in 18 or 19, and I... John 18:37. Pilate therefore said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth." Everyone who's of the truth hears my voice. Now we got one responsibility. That's the words. Everybody's of the truth. Hear the voice of Jesus in that. And the reality is, some don't believe. Jesus' words here, my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. They can't handle it. And so, many, many left. Some don't believe. As a matter of fact, I want to tell you this. These are important. John 6, there's some of... For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was that would betray him. Guys, Jesus knows. This is the high priest, the exalted high priest, like a flame of fire. Amen? This is the one who, hey, he tests the hearts of men. He refining, he's sifting before his judgment seat. Jesus knows. Now, this is a beautiful thing. Jesus knows me. If I make it, you know who else? Me. That's it. Now the rest of you guys can know. I mean, I think the scripture talks about people whose names have been recorded in the book of life. Okay, so I think there's confidence that we can say about our brethren, at least when they fought the good fight and finished the course, we can know that, okay, by their fruit. But... you know, there is opportunity. Hey, Judas, one of the 12 most spiritual guys, he bailed. Jesus knows. Now, this is a great thing. Jesus knows, and you better know. This is not easy. The statements of Jesus don't get easier. They're hard. So you have to set your mind, no matter what, I will stand to the end. No matter what, I will be faithful unto death. Jesus knows. The flip side of that is beautiful to me. Is I don't have to know about any of you. You see what I'm saying? Jesus knows. I don't have to sit here and start trying to go through the, well, Dunbar, yeah, he's a pretty good guy and he's using that Rotherhams and that's probably helping him, but you know, there's some things sometimes. You know, he gives that one smile, and I just don't know, you know. I don't have to start going through the rows here and trying to figure out who's going to make it and who isn't. And not my job. Job either. Jesus knows. Jesus knew from the beginning who it was that was going to betray him. Did Jesus ever himself let on to the other 11 about Judas? Because 3.5 years of ministry together, and Jesus, and you better believe he knows at the end. And you can, looking back on it, you can read, you can see the exchange, and you can see Jesus calling out Judas, and only Judas and Jesus even realize it. The whole money thing, remember that? And even at the very end, wrestling did it. Let me ask you a question. If the people or behind you or next to you, whether or not they're going to make it, does that change your responsibility? Does that change your response to the gospel? Does that change what you're supposed to do today, tomorrow, next month, next year? It doesn't change it, does it? Jesus knows. And I'm just going to encourage you tonight. You make sure you know that you're going to make it. No caving in. No really comforting. Go with me to John 21. I really appreciated Mr. Simpson's message on Lord's Day Night. Simple, straightforward, and but man, it's just... what do we say? Simple, but not necessarily easy. And, you know, mind your own business. There was a verse of, that popped into my mind while you were preaching that message from Proverbs. And it says, like somebody who passes by and grabs a dog's ears, so is he who meddles in strife not belonging to him. Hey, guys, walk down these alleys sometime for the fun of it and find, you know, the pit bulls and the Rottweilers. Go by and grab one of those dogs by the ears. Hey, try it. Hey, don't blame me either when you come in here bandaged up next Lord's Day. Okay? The scripture point is, hey, that meddling in strife that doesn't belong to you, right? That's none of my business. You're going to come out hurt. I really appreciate it. But see, there's always this tendency. And I know, from the time I was young, and I still fight it, there's tendencies to compare. Okay? And I'm worried about, I've told you guys this before, I was a tattletale. Okay? And I think part of it was I had a strong sense of right and wrong. But part of it, man, I was worried that somebody else was getting away with something that I couldn't get away with. Mom, I guess sometimes in the church, I'm worried so-and-so's getting away with something. That's not the point. Mike Ferguson, a phrase he likes to use is, you run your race. You hit your marks. Hey, that's the responsibility we have. In John chapter 21, you guys remember this. Jesus talks to Peter. He's working on Peter. And in verse 18, he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." As traditional history says that Peter was crucified upside down. I don't know. It's not in the Bible. But that's what traditional history tells us. Doesn't sound like a real easy way to go. Okay? But Jesus is telling Peter, "Follow me." So Peter turned around and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. That would be John. The one also had leaned back on his breast at the supper and said, and had said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, therefore, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, and what about this man? What's he got to go through?" Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? Follow me." What difference does it make? If John gets off easy, and he didn't, he is the one apostle, though, who wasn't martyred. But if John gets off easy, what difference does that make to you? See, Jesus knows what it takes for every one of us to make it. And he willing to put right in front of me and right in front of you everything necessary to either break you or to make you. And that depends on your response. So, hey, you got tough stuff going? Rejoice. God's designed this perfectly for you. So, set your mind. I'm going to follow no matter what, no matter how tough it gets. Because, guys, in terms of persecution, that's one thing we haven't had to worry about in this country for a long time. And that storm's on the horizon. And you aren't going to decide then how you're going to handle it. You're deciding right now. Every single day, what you do in your relationship with God is determining whether or not you're going to make it when those times come. So, set your mind. Jesus knew that some weren't going to believe. So, back there in John 6:65, he was saying, "For this reason I've said to you that no one can come to me unless it's been granted him from the Father. We might, at first glance, we might take that to mean that I'll just throw this term out there, the frozen chosen. Hey, if God chose you, man, you're in. And if God didn't choose you, you're out. Like, you just aren't going to be able to hack it. Because it's not the frozen chosen. It's that God has this thing perfectly designed to sift through and to sort through so that not only, I don't think God has a problem knowing, but that so you know exactly where you're at with God. There's a few big picture things I get when I read the book of Proverbs. One is be coachable, be teachable, be humble. Another one is, guys, life's a maze. It's an amazing maze. And you aren't going to get through this on your own apart from listening to the wise counsel of the Lord. Guys are notorious for not being willing to stop and ask for directions. Now, we got GPS and that helps. Unless our wife's running the thing, right, Jared? Sorry, I'm sorry, Sue. I'm sorry. I took something from Oh, that was the map. Okay. Anyways. Oh, boy. It can be complicated, but you know what? Stop and ask. I remember I went to New York with my dad. I was like 13 years old. We went to New York City. If anybody knows, my dad's a funny guy. He's one of these guys that, you know, you can have the whole family lined up and the grandkids and everything else, and he's going to have the tickets, right? Oh, you guys might lose, you know, I'll keep the tickets. And then, oh, hey, where are those tickets? You know, he's not the best. I wish Mikkel was here because there's a reason that it's helpful for somebody to travel with my dad. I'm 13 years old. My dad and I get in New York City, and we get lost in the middle of the... And he's going, and finally, he has me standing there with the baggage on the corner, street corner, and I'm not feeling super comfortable about this. He's going, he's trying to talk to some guy that only speaks Spanish, getting direction. We weren't doing very good. It would have helped if he would have asked a long time prior to that. Sorry, Dad. Guys are notorious for that. But when it comes to this maze of life, guys, better ask for directions from the Lord. He willing to give them. And it's a maze for a reason. Because only the people that really want to make it are going to get there. You guys know Hebrews 4 verse 12. Word of God is living and active. Sharpening a two-edged sword. Piercing as far as the vision of soul and spirit, both joints and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. This thing's perfectly designed to sift, isn't it? I remember one of my favorite presents my mom ever got me was this like labyrinth. It's a board. You know, you have the little dials, one on each side, and it moves. This one, this board will tilt, and this one this way, and there's all sorts. You're trying to roll the little steely all the way through the maze to the end, right? And you now those they make those way cooler now. Caleb Gould, I seen yours, that whole 3D thing, and you got to get. I had fun when you brought that to school a little bit. I enjoy those kind of things, but man, I got pretty good at that. I don't know if I ever finished that. It's tough. Guys, there are a lot of people, they quit. They quit on this maze of life. They fall in the first hole and they try again. They get to the second one and they try again. And they get to where they're making it to the third and they might try again. Somewhere around hole number 10, they just say, it ain't worth it. God wants people who want to be there. These guys in John 6 had made it through you put whatever number you want on it. First 9 holes, now here's hole 10. That's a hard statement. We don't want to listen to it. Don't quit, guys, is what I'm telling you. No matter how tough this gets, don't quit. Stay in there. Believe the words of eternal life we talked about last week. granted by the Father. Nobody can come to Jesus unless it's been granted by the Father. God has this thing designed perfectly. He is testing your heart, and He's testing the hearts of your friends, and He's testing the hearts of your enemies, who we're supposed to love. The hearts of your neighbors. He is testing the hearts of everybody, and you got to figure this out, guys. Some of us here, I know some of us, in this audience tonight, we're struggling with belief. Some of us are teetering on this. God's right. You got to figure that out. God is right. He has this thing perfectly designed. So quit fighting it. Get on board. God gives you opportunity. You know, this is probably, I don't know if I have any business saying this. Probably shouldn't grab the ears of the dog. I'll just say this. A few young people have died recently that we know to varying degrees. Okay? Under different circumstances. Guys, this is real. I don't care if you're 18, 19, 44, 70. It doesn't matter. This is real. None of us guaranteed tomorrow. And if we're not dealing with this, not making a decision in reference to Christ, we are making a decision. If we're pushing this out of our mind and we're saying, really, we're deceiving ourselves. I challenge anybody. I challenge anybody in this room. I challenge anybody in the world. You take an honest look at this. This is true. That Bible study I got to have that I really enjoy. There was a lot of weaseling going on this thing being true. I said, so we're back to cut and paste Christianity. Oh, I guess that's... It's like, if we need to go back and we need to sort through and establish the absolute authority of this, let's do that. But when we do that, and you know that, you don't get to cut and paste. None of us do, guys. Stand firm on this. God has it designed perfectly, granted by the Father. You realize how blessed everyone, I'll just say you. Do you realize how blessed you are? I'll say me. Why did I get a chance to hear this thing? Why did you get a chance to hear this thing? I mean, to really hear it. Out of the billions of people in this world, you got to hear the truth. What are you going to do with that? That sounds to me like it's... I got to look at that and fall down before the Almighty throne of God and say, thank you, God. I don't know why, but thank you for granting this opportunity to me. No squandering that, guys. So, John 6, verse 66. As a result of this, Jesus didn't back down. And as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. I think if Jesus would have backed down, a lot of those guys would have stayed. What do you think? I think Jesus would have, you know, just backed off the intensity. You know, hey, guys, I don't think you quite knew what I was talking about. Let's try this again. But they would have stayed for what? That's how the churches are, where the churches are at. But we gotta say a message to get people to stay. Is it discouraging when people leave? It's discouraging. It's incredibly discouraging when people leave. Do you think Jesus was possibly, you know, that he felt this a little bit? He did a lot of work to get him this far. Do you think that Jesus feels it when people leave now? You know, I just had a friendly conversation recently with one of my brethren and reminded him, hey, Jesus sets a table on the first day of the week. He told his apostles, I earnestly desire to eat this Passover, that Last Supper with you. Do you think Jesus earnestly desires to eat this new covenant meal with us? He earnestly desires that. Do you think he gets a little disappointed when you don't show up? I mean, the parable of the prodigal son communicates a lot of things. One of the things it communicates, Dad cares. Dad notices when you're gone. Dad wants you a part of the family. So, I'm sure Jesus felt it. But he trusted the Father. Okay? He kept moving forward. And he wasn't going to change it to try to get people to stick around.
A lot of his messages are hard. And the one that Kevin gave Lord's Day evening can be very hard. But we need to take that and look at our own lives with that. That's a mirror for us to examine ourselves. And if we're really honest with ourselves, then we know where our shortcomings are and we know how to straighten them out and how to fix them. And that's what God wants from us. He wants somebody that's steadfast and firm, solid ground. He doesn't want anybody that's wavering. That's why he sets us the way he does.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I like that choice of words. God himself is steadfast, isn't he? He's unwavering. And he's developing that in us. You're absolutely right. He got this thing perfectly designed.
You got all the way back tonight. Yeah, you know, I think we're kind of close on our daily reading because I was reading later in John, and it says that I will ask the Father and he will give you a helper. And I was always really familiar with that, but I seem to have read over the second part of that really fast, because in verse 17, the helper, he says, who is the helper? It says, that is the Spirit of truth.
Amen.
And later in the chapter, he says, you know, if you abide in me, and I in you. But here's the stipulation. He who keeps my commandment and keeps them, this is the one who loves me. And in verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word.
Amen.
And, you know, we always say, you know, the Spirit resides in us. The Spirit resides in us. Well, what there is, that is conditional, not only on our baptism or our immersion, but moving forward in verse 23, it says how? He says, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him.
Amen.
So,
amen.
It's the love of God and the Spirit of truth.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, guys, you read the Old Testament, you come across the New Testament, it's always conditional. There's some things that God expects. And so, if we're in this thing, like, there's a promise. Like, it talks Christ living in us. And we know Christ comes to live in us in our immersion into Christ, but there's a responsibility. You read the rest of the Scriptures. We got to live in Him. Hey, we got to stick. This Spirit of truth, hey, is our helper. So we can't be denying the truth and go on being led by the Spirit. It doesn't work that way. So, good points, guys. Thank you. So, I guess a couple things that I wanted to take away before I move on here is that, first of all, you decide, guys. You gotta do a spiritual gut check. And not a one time deal. The Lord comes back to us and makes us get that. But if we don't examine ourselves, that's how we end up slowly drifting. You know, the Book of Hebrews says, lest we drift away from it. Most people don't just wake up one day and say, I don't want this anymore. It's a slow drift. So, hey, make sure you believe. And then the second thing is, guys, Jesus knows. Jesus knows. He placed the members in the body just as he desires. He knows who's going to make it. He knows who isn't going to make it. And he doesn't leave that. We don't have to worry about that. So let's focus our attention where it's supposed to be. That's number one. What Kevin talks about on Lord's Day night. Look at myself. Guys, I got plenty still to grow in. And you're looking at yourself and you're working on yourself. You don't really have a lot of time to be that worried about everybody else. And then secondly, you know, if we're turning around and we are looking at other people and we're trying to find something, you're going to find something. And if you can't find something legit, you'll make something up they did about Jesus. So, hey, let's let Jesus sort it out. Let's make sure we're going where we're supposed to and help other people. Help other people. Encourage one another day after day, right? Consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Build up. That doesn't mean there's never time to say some hard sayings. Jesus did. I'll be honest. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Deceitful are the kiss of an enemy. But there's a difference between being trying to determine, predetermine who's going to make it. I got no interest in that. I do not want to sit here and try to go through every one of your guys' personal inventories and figure it out whether or not you're going to make it to heaven. I just don't. I hope you don't take that on yourself either. Jesus got that covered. He knows. And he didn't choose to reveal to the 12 the position of Judas, even when he knew. In due time, it becomes obvious, the tares and the wheat. Let the Lord sift it out. And along the way, guys, sometimes when people, it takes the process of this sifting. And it takes, I'm going to tell you this, because I love to go on Bible study with people. I love to have these discussions with the lost. I love to go toe-to-toe with this guy that I got to yesterday, and I liked it when he was arguing with me. I had fun. I was smiling and, you know, but holding the line and according to, I love this guy. I hope he makes it. I love that. There's nothing in the world I'd rather do. But the reality of it is, if we go and we make disciples the way God wants us to, we go and we immerse those disciples, we go and we continue to teach them, there won't be some drop-off. It's a reality. Is it discouraging? You better believe it. Should it stop us from what we're supposed to be doing? Should we start trying to figure out ahead of time? Oh, I don't know if this. I'm not gonna worry about spending time with that person. They're probably not gonna make it anyways. Hey, you can't have that attitude, can you? Hey, pick it up and let's go. And along the way, God has this thing so designed that even as people leave, it takes the refiner's fire. To get the pure bride that God wants, He's sifting through this. And as people leave, okay, there's a committed crew of disciples. Guys, our congregation, you know, Kevin, what'd you get for a count tonight? Did you count yet?
Yeah.
What'd you get?
I got 79.
79.
All souls.
79. So we got 79 people here tonight. We had 168 people here on Resurrection Lord's Day morning. Oh, I like that. It means, hey, we're taking shots at people. And a bunch of you guys invited people, and that's great. I know I made a couple of them mad. And if I didn't tell the truth, I'd apologize for that. But you know the reality of it is? God wants a committed crew. The work that's going to get done in building this kingdom, it's going to come. And hopefully, hey, we can get some of those people that are coming Lord's Day mornings to take that next step. But it's going to come from you. There are going to be people on the fringe, in and out. We want to support the weak, guys, but the Lord's interested in building this thing. And if people leave because they don't want to do it and they don't want to pay the price to actually be a continual follower of Jesus, they're going to leave. So, you know, I just got some questions. Who wants to be committed? Who really, really, really wants to build? Who wants to die to self so you can live for Christ? Thank you, Mr. Dobson. Who wants to set aside the building of your own kingdoms, your own plans, your own desires for the sake of building the kingdom of the Lord? Those are the people that Jesus really wants. Those are the people that have been granted by the Father to come to Him. And so, I'm all for, let's help our brethren. Let's help them. But I just want you to think, who wants to take the next step? We have tremendous opportunity, because the fields are white for harvest. People are distressed and downcast, like sheep without a shepherd. There is only one answer. There is only one hope. It tears me up to think that people can be so hopeless, that there's nobody that they can talk to. That people are so hopeless that they can't see any light. The light's Jesus. He's the only light. Because we get to bring this. We get to bring life into a world that's dead. So I want to encourage you. You ask yourself some of these questions. Let's take the next step. Let's, whatever it is in your life, wherever you are, we might be different places on this journey, but you commit. Take the next step. You commit to build the kingdom. I'm going to wrap this up next week in just a little more from John 6 and have a little bit of a family meeting probably off of that. And then the award ceremony, and then I'm going to shift gears, take a little hiatus from John, work on the kingdom a little bit. Just talk about what it means to be a good citizen of the kingdom. Then we'll come back in a few months and pick it up back up in John 7. But, you know, guys, think about it. Get your brethren to think about it. There's a lot of great work to do. The kingdom, we're gonna look at that from the scripture. But let's get on board and let's do this. Amen?